Coming up on today's show.
In the fall of 2020, Lauren came home one day and she said, "All right, Ryan, I signed you up for RCIA. I said, "Nope, I'm not doing this." I wasn't confirmed in high school, and I did not want to go through the process.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website, as I hope you know by now, is catholicsportsradio.net, or actually .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site, and you will see social media links, logos actually, for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Last week on the show, I mentioned during the ministry moment that Pro Football Hall of Fame candidates were being whittled down, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned that gold jacket that the honorees are given when they are enshrined. It made me think of golf, and when someone wins the Masters, how they are always shown being given the coveted green jacket. In something like the NFL or the NHL draft, we watch on television as the chosen athlete hears his name called and then comes up on stage and has that memorable moment of pulling that jersey, usually with a number one on the back, over his head and then being given a hat from that team too. Think about how our Heavenly Father has wrapped us. In times of despair, when we need comfort, it's good to think of all that we have through Him and in Him. We can and should wear a smile with pride in the gifts from God above. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 says, quote, "I will rejoice heartily in the Lord. My being exults in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and wrapped me in a robe of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is in his second season as an assistant coach for women's swimming and diving at the University of Kansas. Prior to joining the Jayhawks staff, he was the head coach at the University of Mary, and before that, he had been an assistant coach at the University of New Mexico. Prior to moving into the college coaching ranks, he was the head coach of Reno Aquatic Club from 2018 to 2021. As a student athlete, he graduated from and swam at the University of Iowa, where he was named the team captain for the 2008-2009 season. He also received the Big Ten Sportsmanship Award and the Iowa Swimming Leadership Award in 2009. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Ryan Evans.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Thank you, Ryan. You have moved around quite a bit, as we're going to hear throughout our conversation today. Where are you from originally, though? Meaning, where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Yeah, I'm originally from Reno, Nevada. I'm the youngest of four, two older brothers and an older sister.
Okay. Now, was this a Catholic household that you were raised in? And if so, what did Catholic education look like for you?
Yeah, so we parents were Catholic, went to Mass, still go to Mass every Sunday. And I attended Catholic school, first through high school, graduated from Bishop Noe Catholic High School in Reno, Nevada. But I was never confirmed in high school. Kind of, I'd say, fell away from the church in high school. You know, once I got my driver's license, I stopped going to Sunday Mass with my family and just would go, you know, during, we would have Mass maybe once a month in high school. And that's about the only time I went to church was then, and, you know, Christmas and Easter, but stopped attending regularly, you know, around age 15, 16.
I don't typically ask hard-hitting questions on this show, but I can just feel, as I'm listening to you, I can feel people in the audience saying, at that age, what did his parents do that they were okay with him falling away from the church and not attending regularly? So if you don't mind, it doesn't have to be a long answer, but as a nod to those in the audience that I know are hearing you say that and thinking the same thing, I feel obligated to those folks to ask you that question.
Yeah, you know, my parents, they are amazing parents. I'm so thankful for how they raised me, and they've taught me so many valuable lessons. I think a lot of it was, you know, being a competitive swimmer, life was just busy, and it was expected that we attended Mass, but it wasn't required, I guess I would say, from my parents. They allowed us to kind of make our own decisions. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, like I said, I'm so thankful for how they raised me, but I just had a hard time, and my siblings as well, I guess, with the faith at that time.
Okay. Has swimming always been your one and only sport, by the way? And how and when did you first start into participating in, I'm going to say sports, but maybe you're going to tell me, yeah, it's always just only been swimming?
No, yeah, I grew up playing all the sports. Baseball was probably my first love, and then spent some years playing basketball. But swimming has always kind of been a theme in my family. My parents, they actually met at a pool. My dad was a lifeguard on an Army base, and my mom was, her dad was an officer on that base. So that's how they met. Mm. And then my uncle was a longtime swim coach, and my oldest brother, he was All-American swimmer in high school, and wow. So he kind of paved the way for me.
Wow.
But yeah, growing up playing every sport imaginable, and then in high school, always wanted to be a collegiate athlete, and that was a goal of mine. And I started to, kind of around freshman year, started to understand, okay, I'm not going to be able to play basketball at the next level. I kind of fell away from baseball, and it just kind of made sense, all right, swimming's going to be the ticket to compete at the next level. So started about freshman year of high school is when I went really all in on swimming, dropped the other sports, and kind of went full in.
Yeah, and I think, audience, that helps us see a little bit more clearly now Ryan's statement about starting to fall away from the church, perhaps in high school. And if the emphasis was as much on swimming as you just described, Ryan, that this is what could get me into a life in college as a student athlete, then it starts to become a lot clearer as to how you were making the decisions that you did. I mentioned in the intro that you attended and swam at the University of Iowa. It sounds like you had success there, which makes me wonder if maybe you were about swimming first, presumably your studies a close second, and now as we've started to hear, you know, your faith life was probably, I don't even want to say third. It sounds like it might have been further down the list. Am I headed in the right direction here that you're all about swimming and obviously your studies, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I would say fairly accurate, but gave me a little bit too much credit there. I'd say swimming was priority. School was more of not a close second, a distant second. I kind of went all in on swimming and did okay in the classroom enough, but I definitely could have done better academically in the high school years.
So if I'm understanding you, your folks would have been back in Reno, I'm thinking, and here you are at Iowa. So maybe you just stopped going to church altogether when you were in college?
Yeah, so did not attend church in college. You know, Iowa has a Newman Center that was right across the street from campus. I remember walking past it, but just had no desire to go. I wish, you know, looking back, I wish I would have. But yeah, it just wasn't a priority at that point.
Okay. Tell us how you met your now wife, because I want the audience to hear the impact that did have on your faith life.
Yeah, so I met my wife in Reno, Nevada. So after I graduated from Iowa, moved back to Nevada, I graduated in, as you mentioned, 2009. So the economy was, you know, it was hard to get a job as a college graduate at that time. So I didn't really have anything set up, but I moved back to Reno, had kind of a summer job that I did during the summer that I was able to get hired full time working there. And then about 2 years after I graduated, one of my good friends decided to open up a specialty running store in Reno, and he offered me the manager position. He wanted me to help him open the store. So I was the manager of Reno Running Company, and Lauren, my wife, was our Adidas sales rep. So she was actually based in Boulder, Colorado, and she had come out to Reno to visit our store and, you know, to help train the staff on Adidas products. And so that's how we met. We just really hit it off. And we, at that time, this was fall of 2011, Lauren, unfortunately, her dad was really sick at this point, and her parents lived in Italy. So Lauren's American, and but she was born overseas and grew up overseas. Her parents worked for the military. So she was born in Japan and then elementary school in England, high school in Italy, and then came to the U.S. on a full ride tennis scholarship with a Division I tennis player at Furman University. So she kind of bounced all around growing up and bounced all around the U.S. And then she was in Boulder when we met. So her dad is sick back in Italy, unfortunately was dying from cancer at this point. So literally like 3 days after we met, that initial meeting at the running store, Lauren had to go back to Italy for the last couple months of her dad's life. So we had met, and then we're, you know, we were exchanging emails, and maybe once a week we would have a call. So we were kind of getting to know each other better, but it was
a business call or a personal call once a week?
At that point, it started turning more personal.
Okay.
We both of us realized, okay, something's here. You know, we just clicked really well, and we were able to get to know each other during that point. And unfortunately, her dad, when he passed, she came back to the U.S. and was in Boulder, and then we were still dating long distance. And then what had happened during this time, too, was kind of the start of my reversion back to the Catholic Church. Was Lauren was a Catholic convert in college, and she has an amazing story how she found the Catholic faith. But I told her one of our first initial, when we started to kind of hit it off and you know, one of our first dates, I guess, I told her, like, I've always wanted to marry someone who was Catholic. Like, I didn't know why at that point, but that was super important to me. And then so when we were dating long distance, I knew, okay, well, Lauren's, her faith is really important to her. You know, I got to kind of impress her. So I started going back to church with my parents. So, you know, like I said, they went to church every Sunday, and I started going to the church with them again. And then once Lauren moved to Reno and we got married, we were going to church, and but still faith wasn't at the forefront of our relationship. It wasn't our priority. And fast forward, you know, we had our first daughter in 2015, and then we welcomed our second son in 2018. And we're just kind of living, you know, we would go to church on Sundays, but that was about it.
Going through the motions, it sounds like.
Exactly. Just going through the motions. And then couple things really happened that has really springboarded our faith. First one was Lauren was in adoration. This would have been fall of 2019. She was in adoration. She had just started going to adoration. The church that we were a part of in Reno offered it like once a week for like 30 minutes, like very limited opportunity to do adoration. But she was in there, and she just was sitting there, and there was this, she was actually sitting in the cry room of the church, and there was a bookshelf in there, and she just got drawn to this book, and she opened it up and started reading it and was just blown away by this book. And she was like, I need to know who this author is. And she looked at the back and the biography of the author. He was a professor at the Augustine Institute. So Lauren started looking into that and was like, Augustine Institute, this seems amazing. So she started pursuing her master's in theology from the Augustine Institute in 2019. And then leaping forward a few months to 2020, you know, everyone remembers 2020 with COVID. There was a moment we were sitting at home during lockdown, and the Augustine Institute, they put out Formed, the Formed app, and there's all sorts of shows and documentaries and just some amazing things there on form. And I was still really reluctant to the faith. I wasn't opening up to the faith. I, like I said, just still just going through the motions. But Lauren was like, we need to watch this documentary. And it was just, we were sitting there and it was a documentary from Chris Stefanik, and a light bulb went off in my head.
Mm.
And I, looking back now, I'm like, that's the moment that kickstarted my faith and my faith journey.
Okay. Okay. And I'd be remiss, audience, if I didn't call your attention back to episode 279, which was released last June. My guest then was Taylor Kemp. He is the vice president of content at the Augustine Institute. So if you never heard that, go back and listen to it, because he's a former Major League Soccer player with over 100 MLS appearances throughout a six-year career. But Ryan's story continues in a way that's refreshing to hear of something good that came out of the pandemic. Now that we're into 2025, it's good that all of that is falling farther and farther into the past, although there are still people, unfortunately, who are suffering long-term effects from COVID that we should keep in prayer. But it's good to hear a positive development that came out of that time. Speaking of starting into this new year, I do have my first thank you of 2025 to send along, meaning I did receive a financial gift that was sent in support of my ministry. I was asked to withhold the name, though, and keep it anonymous. Presumably that person is listening. You know who you are. We did exchange emails, and I'm happy to express my gratitude publicly for that. They were kind enough to say, thanks for making a great podcast, and some other nice words. It just really means so, so much to me to get that kind of support for the work that I'm doing through Catholic Sports Radio. If you are so moved and would like to do the same, I would be most grateful for your considering helping me, helping this ministry as part of your tithing. My hope is that you too are enjoying the testimony, the lessons, the witness that we all are given a front row seat to each week, and that this is helping you in your faith life. The blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. That is how the individual that I'm thanking this week did it. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you have heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution, or as some people have instructed me to do, just like you're hearing this week, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Ryan, before all that, you were talking about having watched a documentary during the pandemic in 2020. Please continue with your story in terms of what happened next in the fall of that year.
Yeah, so in the fall of 2020, Lauren came home one day and she said, all right, Ryan, I signed you up for RCIA. I said, nope, I'm not doing this. I wasn't confirmed in high school, and I did not want to go through the process.
Let me jump in here. I'm kind of confused as to why you were against it after you talked about getting caught up with what the Augustine Institute was putting out in this documentary, and now all of a sudden you're saying she comes home and says this and you're not interested.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I want to be cautious here because I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. The Catholic community in Northern Nevada has gone through some turbulent times. And I think the diocese is on the right track now. There's Bishop Muggenberg is a new bishop for the Diocese of Reno. He's doing an amazing job. But prior to him, the Catholic community in Reno was struggling. And so I just, my experience of Catholicism and the church and the priest and everything with the faith was just, it wasn't strong. It wasn't solid. So for me, going to RCIA was just going to be a hassle. Like that documentary, like I said, I think it ignited the flame, but it wasn't a full-blown fire yet. But it was still in the back of my mind.
It's kind of like someone's spouse coming home and saying, hey, I was at this event and there was this company there that was talking about all these trips that you could take. And I signed us up to go back for a presentation from them. You know, you and I, we've talked about we need to take more trips. We need to get away. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I'm not buying a timeshare. I just said that, you know, that we should do more traveling. But so you're going, you know, I liked the content. I enjoyed the documentary, but that doesn't mean that I want to go participate in RCIA.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But she, yeah, signed me up. And thankfully, like I said, my sister-in-law was going through it as well. So I was like, all right, I'll go. So I went. And again, don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but looking back, I feel the program itself was just very surface level. Mm. And it just was kind of going through the motions, the program that I went through. So it wasn't very a deep faith formation like I was needed and was kind of craving. So actually, before I got confirmed, I remember talking to the priest, and basically I said, I don't feel ready. Like, I don't think I should be confirmed. Wow. And, you know, it would have been spring of 2021.
Wow.
And I remember vividly him just telling me, just do it, just go for it. And the Holy Spirit will begin to work for you and just move forward with the process. So
interesting.
Thankfully I listened to him, and that was another, you know, pivotal moment, being confirmed, and just, wow, you know, that was another ignition to the fire, I guess I should say.
Yeah. Because sports and faith came together for you the next year. I'm talking about 2021. Share with us about the fall of that year job-wise, as well as the positive impact it ended up having on your faith life.
Yeah, so fall of 2021, so we were, you know, we're in Reno. Life was really comfortable for us. You know, I lived a mile away from the house I grew up in. Mm. Life was easy. I had a really good job. I was the head coach of Reno Aquatic Club, mm-hmm. which was a team when I was coaching about 180 swimmers. We were having a lot of success as a team, and things were just comfortable for us. But I always had the desire to coach collegiately.
Mm.
And one of my coaching mentors, one of my good friends, Brendan Bray, he's the head coach of the University of Nevada. I would talk to him a lot about coaching in college. And I just assumed that, you know, I would develop some good age group club swimmers, which I was doing. I had one of the top high school swimmers in the country was one of my swimmers. I just assumed, like, all right, when I'm ready to coach in college, I'll just apply and I'll get whatever job I want, you know, mm-hmm. when I want to make that leap. And I started to find out that's not the case. Like, mm-hmm. it's very competitive. It's very hard to get into college coaching. And usually college coaches get into it right after they graduate college. You know, they finish their swimming career and then they become a GA and then a kind of a lower end assistant coach, and they kind of work their way up. I was a little bit delayed. You know, I'm 15 years after graduating, so I'm a little bit behind on that normal career trajectory. So fall of 2021, I guess it would have been August of 2021, Brendan, the Nevada coach, calls me and he says, hey, I just got off the phone with the University of New Mexico coach. She's having a hard time finding an assistant coach. So I passed along your name to her.
Mm.
So she called me later that day. And long story short, I interviewed. She offered me the job. I accepted with a lot of thought and prayer because, like I said, life was really comfortable for us.
Yeah.
And Andrew, our third child, was born 2 weeks before I got that call.
Mm.
So, you know, we have the brand new baby, and I got the call and we accepted. And so we moved to Albuquerque in September of 2021. And I think that is a key moment in my faith journey when we got to Albuquerque.
Well, number one, you're putting your trust and faith in the Lord that, you know, look, we just had this new baby, but clearly this is meant for me, because you just described how difficult it is to get these jobs. And all of a sudden a friend says, oh, by the way, I put your name in, you get the phone call, she offers you the job. It's one of those, you know, results not typical. You know, it's not supposed to be this easy. So if you're getting the job, quote unquote, that easy, you're going, okay, I'm trying to pray about this, even though I'm not the most devout Catholic in the world. And I do have to put my faith and trust in the Lord that he's sending us out of state, you know, for whatever plans that he has for our family.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, in the moment, it maybe wasn't that clear, but now looking back, I'm like, that was God's plan, was for us to move to Albuquerque. And the reasons for that, there's kind of three things that happened to me with my faith journey in Albuquerque. I had mentioned, you know, in Reno, I never felt like I developed any relationships with any priests in Reno.
Right.
Growing up, I always viewed priests as kind of mean and old and just not relatable. Mm. So when we moved to New Mexico, for the first time in my life, I met a priest that was very holy, very faithful, but an amazing guy who he was actually a former rock and roll radio DJ, and then he became a priest. And I was out of town at a swim meet. We're living in Albuquerque for about a month, 6 weeks. And I was out of town and my wife went to mass. It was about 45 minutes from our house. And there's a lot of great churches in Albuquerque, but she drove to a homeschool group that was based out of the St. John Vianney in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. And she came back from that homeschool group. I come get back into town later that night. And she's like, we're going to mass there on Sunday.
Whoa.
Like, what? It's 45 minutes away. Like, you know, we passed six churches on the way there. She's like, no, there's something special about this church. So we go, and Father Scott, who was the pastor of St. John Vianney there, Lauren introduces me to him. And then we go into mass, and he did Ad Orientem mass. And it was actually, they're in the process of raising funds to build their actual church.
Mm-hmm.
So mass right now is in their parish center. So it's inside of a gym, but mm-hmm. it is, that's the first time I've ever experienced this just beautiful music, the incense, everything about it was just, it was amazing. So Lauren introduced me to Father Scott, and then I'm like, okay, yeah, let's come back next week. So the next week we park and we're walking in and we're walking across the parking lot, and from, you know, 100 yards away, Father Scott sees us and he starts calling out, hey, Lauren, hey, Ryan, how are you doing? Thanks so much for coming back. And that was the first time a priest had ever remembered my name, ever knew anything about
wow.
me. And it was an amazing experience to have that. So meeting Father Scott was crucial for me. And then we, for the first time in my life, I met other Catholic families that were similar to us, you know, that had mm-hmm. kids our same age. Mm-hmm. And the dads and I had a lot in common. So we developed community for the first time. And that was something that we were lacking in Northern Nevada. We just weren't able to find a strong Catholic community. So that was key to me. And probably the third thing that was the most important was I started to really pray. Two ways. We started to pray as a family each night.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do that prior.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Lauren saying, I want to start praying as a family before the kids go to bed. And we're just going to do one Hail Mary. And, you know, then the kids will go to bed. And mm-hmm. similar to when she signed me up for RCIA, I was like, you know, one Hail Mary, that's going to take forever. Why? I don't want to do this. And so we started one Hail Mary and we started praying. And then she's like, I think we should start doing three Hail Marys. And then fast forward to today, you know, we're doing a rosary and
wow.
the Bible in the year every single night.
Wow.
And so it's become a huge part of our family. Mm. But at the time, it really started with something small. So as a family, we started to pray in New Mexico. But then individually, every morning, I started my prayer routine.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And so, audience, here's the plot twist that you did not see coming after everything that Ryan just set up. Of course, what do you think he did? He left coaching and moved back to Reno. And then God stepped in and reminded him that God is in control and not Ryan. So, Ryan, tell us what took place and your next journey.
Yeah, so this is another way that's like, it's so amazing and beautiful to see how God has worked in our lives. So yeah, at New Mexico, for a variety of reasons, I just felt this calling, like I needed to go back to Reno, needed to move the family back there. And so I started praying, please God, give us an opportunity to get back to Reno. And lo and behold, he gave us an opportunity. It wasn't in coaching, it was in a sales position that I had. And so we moved the family back to Reno and we were there for about 4 months. And at this point I thought, I'm done with coaching. I'm not going to coach. I'm going to give it up.
That's what you thought.
Exactly. And I was so miserable in this new position.
Oh,
like,
boy.
And we didn't sell our house in Reno when we moved to Albuquerque, but we were renting it out. So we couldn't move back into our home. So we moved back in with my parents, which was, you know, three kids, two dogs.
Wow.
It was very challenging on Lauren and my relationship moving back in there.
Mm.
So I'm miserable in my new job. Lauren is miserable because I'm depressed. I don't like what I'm doing. One day I had a really rough day at work, and this was in September of 2022. I had a really rough day at work, and just out of nowhere, I had this like feeling like, I wonder if there's any swim jobs open.
Hmm.
And I hadn't looked at the NCAA. You know, the NCAA has a job board where colleges can post open positions. I hadn't looked at that, you know, the whole time we're in Reno. And I remember sitting there and pulled it up on the computer. And the day prior, the head coaching position at the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota was posted.
Wow.
And Lauren and I had some conversations about maybe if I do, you know, it'd be how great would it be to be at a Catholic university, like a truly faithful Catholic university. And then I look at the University of Mary and I'm like, I wasn't familiar with the University of Mary until I saw this job posting. But I started to do some research after reading the job description. And I'm like, oh, this is a faithful Catholic university. This is something that we're looking for. So I interviewed and got offered the head coaching job at the University of Mary. And then we packed up and moved to Bismarck, North Dakota.
And audience, you can just see the Lord's handprints all over this. Ryan decided he wanted to go back to Reno. Ryan decided he was done with coaching and he was miserable. And the Lord, you can tell, blessed him with the talents that he had, right? We heard earlier about his days as a student athlete and all the success that he had in the pool. And so here's all these gifts, all these talents, all this knowledge about the sport. And Ryan wants to walk away from it. No, I'm just going to go back to Reno and get into sales. And the Lord stepped in and said, I gave you all this knowledge. I gave you all this wisdom. I gave you all these gifts in the sport for a reason. You're going to a Catholic college now to apply those. And fast forward to present day, Ryan, and now here you are in your second season at the University of Kansas, an opportunity that, no surprise, God's hands were all over once again.
Yeah, exactly. So I think God sent us to Bismarck and the University of Mary for a couple reasons. One, if your listeners aren't familiar with the University of Mary, and they have kids and they're looking for a faithful Catholic university, I can't say enough good things about you, Mary, and what they're doing there in Bismarck. Monsignor Shea, who's had some kind of talks, I guess, go viral, is an amazing speaker, very faithful man, who's the president of the University of Mary, is doing an amazing job there. And then Bismarck in general is such an amazing Catholic community. And the amount of young, dynamic, relatable priests that are in Bismarck is unreal.
Wow.
And I think God sent us there is because we were struggling so much in Reno with the Catholic faith in Northern Nevada.
Yeah.
And we felt hopeless, you know, that like, okay, we feel hopeless for the church in Northern Nevada. In Bismarck, it just such a thriving and booming Catholic community
Wow.
with so many vocations and so many opportunities for people to deepen their faith there. But we were in Bismarck, we talked with a lot of people and they were saying Bismarck was not always this way. You know, it was not always this booming Catholic community. For a long time, the way they described it really sounded a lot like Reno when we were there, just kind of the struggles that the diocese had and the issues that were going on. It just reminded us a lot of home. So from our understanding, what happened in Bismarck is a couple decades ago, the bishop decided to put his best priest, who should have been, you know, at their biggest parish, decided to put that priest inside the Catholic high school. He was going to be full time at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that decision has come, you know, countless number of priests because of that one decision. Mm. You know, Monsignor Shea is kind of the first priest that came out of that. And it's kind of like, you know, obviously this is a sports podcast. I would liken it to like Bill Belichick's coaching tree.
Okay.
You know, all
okay.
these priests came from this one decision.
Wonderful.
And it's
wonderful.
Pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So it's really helped to see us, you know, this community that was not strong and now all of a sudden it is. That gives us hope for Reno and maybe other dioceses that may be struggling,
yeah.
that it can change and become better.
So then bridge the gap then, because you're just like before, everything was great in New Mexico. You left and went to Reno, so everything was great in University of Mary, but you end up going to work at the University of Kansas. And like I said before, the Lord's hands were all over it. But explain to the audience again, I don't want to say why you jumped ship, but what that transition consisted of that you would walk away from another nice situation that you just described.
Yeah, so that was the one thing that probably had the biggest factor in us coming to Kansas was the North Dakota winter. That was, it was very challenging for us as a family. I did not realize how the people in North Dakota, amazing people, so great. I give them so much credit for surviving those winters because we had one winter there and then we said, that's enough.
I see.
There were a couple other things beyond that. One thing that Lauren and I have always felt, and we experienced this in Albuquerque, is I think our faith gets stronger and is deepened when we're in a community that maybe isn't as accepting or as open to the Catholic faith as other communities. Like in Bismarck, we felt like we started to get really comfortable with our faith because it was so easy to be Catholic there.
Yeah.
So we felt kind of a calling to go back to a big secular university.
Interesting.
Because we feel like that's where we can make a, hopefully make a difference in the lives of student athletes is being at a public, you know, state-run university. And then I've always, you know, just swimming at the University of Iowa, being at a big-time university there, when the opportunity at Kansas came up to go to a big-time, well-recognized, well-established athletic department, professionally, I couldn't pass that up. Just to be back at the Division I level and working with a team at, in a Power Four conference.
For sure, for sure. And audience, you know, you could see that everything led to this, right? They were uncomfortable in Reno. They went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and found hope for the hopeless there. They go to Bismarck and see that, okay, well, we're all Catholic and we're all united. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, so let's continue to thrive in our faith. But you start to put it on cruise control, so the Lord says, well, now I'm going to use you not only for the gifts and talents that I blessed you with in terms of the sport of swimming, but now you're going to be a messenger. You're going to be someone that goes out and spreads the gospel in a place where the hopeless need hope. And this isn't what they're talking about every day. So I need you to evangelize. I need you to be bold in your faith. And so you can see that everything had to happen the way that it did for Ryan to end up where he is. And yes, of course, obviously, the lure of I would love to go and be in a D1 coaching situation, which he is now. So we do have to wrap up, but I always like to close. We did hear extensively about your wife, but just anything else, Ryan, that you want to share about your marriage? And plus, you kind of mentioned the kids a little bit, but do please also share about the family that the two of you have made.
Yes. So my wife, Lauren, and I, we have four kids. Alta is 10. Michael is 6, Andrew is 3, and then Mary just turned 1 in early December. So very thankful, and just it's so great to see what Lauren's done with them and their faith. And I can't thank my wife enough for helping me on this faith journey, and what she has done for our kids' faith formation has been amazing to see. And I think that's given me a lot of hope, and because I see our kids, how we're prioritizing Jesus and God and seeing them flourish with that. And I give all the credit in the world to God and to my wife for that, because Lauren's done an amazing job with that. So I'm very, very thankful that I've been able to meet her. And then, you know, she's got me headed on the right direction with my faith. And we're looking forward to continuing to hopefully evangelize more people and help draw more people closer to God.
And the two of you have been married for how long now?
We have been married for 11 years. 11, yep.
Outstanding. So, outstanding.
It's gone by fast, yeah.
Ryan, tremendous testimony. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. As someone who is a swim coach, a husband, a father of four, it means a lot to me that you made time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you so much, and God bless you and your family.
I appreciate it. God bless.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, it's only fitting that we close this week's episode with one of our prayers for coaches. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 2 Timothy, endure hardship, fulfill your ministry. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. Lord, help me remember you are always with me, especially during tough times in my life. Remind me that your trials are for my benefit and that you use time to build me up to make me stronger. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.